stop.
Hey, it's Lex and Stacy, Threesome Podcast number 62. Today we have society issues. The Confederate flag.
Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin. A-holes with bad bumper stickers.
Oh, God, yes.
I saw that on our...
Not just bumper sticker, but like whole tailgate sticker.
A whole fucking book, yeah. On the Threesome Podcast Facebook page, Stacy had up a post of a guy that said, basically, thanks, assholes, for voting for Obama.
Which is- now, keep in mind, this was a real photo. This was taken from someone in traffic. The truck was in front of them.
Yeah.
So in Louisville, Kentucky.
So they took it, posted it, and the thing they were concerned about, same thing I'm concerned about when I saw it, just the pure obscenity on the back of the vehicle. Unnecessary.
Because, again, this wasn't just your typical bumper sticker down at the bottom right of the back of your vehicle. It literally took the entire tailgate of the pickup truck.
Yeah.
It was huge. It was ginormous.
The word asshole was 2 feet long.
Yes.
Dwarfing the size of any bumper sticker.
Yeah, the word asshole itself was probably a good 6 bumper stickers at least.
Yeah. So that's my problem. It's not the Obama thing, because the thanks Obama thing's laughable at this point. You hear it all the time. It's hilarious. He gets blamed for everything. Thanks, Obama.
I do it, you know.
I have AIDS. Thanks, Obama. You know, just stuff like that. You know, it's hilarious. And
he's officially been blamed for everything.
For everything. And, you know, he just gets overly scrutinized because he's our first African-American president. He even on Mark Maron's podcast used the N-word properly in context in a very serious matter in the point in the conversation. And still the next day it's like, the president uses the N-word on a podcast. Ooh. Well, first off, he's black. He can.
Yes. You know, yes, he can. Just, you know, he's president. He can anyway, honestly.
Yeah, just like I can throw white trash around because I am. So. So there.
Take that.
It's like, bitch, you're white trash. I can say that because I'm white and it's sometimes I'm trash. So. Am I 24/7 white trash? No. But have I gone into the white trash gutter before? You bet.
You betcha.
I have. So,
who hasn't?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. I mean, it's like we all have our Springer moments. It's just the way it is.
Very true.
Yeah. Yeah. It's somewhere, someplace. Either you go Springer or somebody makes you.
Yes. Everyone has that moment. And for most people, at least you hope, it is in their late teens, early 20s.
Yeah.
And it is a drunken bar night where someone hit on the guy or girl that you wanted to hook up with. And it just turns into drunken bar brawl, bitching, you know, that kind of shit. That's what you hope it stays contained to. And that's okay if it's happened once, maybe twice in your life.
My favorite was one night I was coming back. I was dressed up. I was coming back from some radio function, and I had taint with me from the show.
That's a person.
Yeah.
For the 3 people who aren't Lex and Terry listeners.
That's right. That's right. And it was one of these things where you had this envelope with like wristbands in it and stuff like that, and it's like we had thrown it in the car, so we were going out to get some, you know, something to drink because the thing was outside and we were thirsty. And there's this girl in kind of a club dress. This is like 2 a.m. and she's sitting on the curb at 7-Eleven. And she's like, ah, and the guy's trying to comfort her. And she's like, get away from me. Why don't you go with that fucking whore? You know, that type of stuff. And Tate's got this envelope in his hand, and he turns to the chicken, to the guy, and says, we just got the results, and you are not the father.
Nice.
And we just start laughing and realize that this chick was in total just meltdown mode, and we probably
that didn't help.
We probably could have pushed her completely over the edge with that. and the dude's looking at Taint like, really?
Because really, in the grand scheme of life, when you're having that moment, what are the odds that Taint,
yeah,
and people who know who Taint are, you know, would be like, that Taint would be there,
yeah,
to needle you.
And here I come behind him going, and the guy's got this look of disbelief on his face looking at Taint. And I went, it's good news, right?
Nice.
And Taint throws the envelope in the trash and we walk inside. You are not the father. Just at the top of his lungs, I'm like, oh my God. It's good news, right? You got it. Get away. Yeah, and it's like, that's total white trash drama right there. That guy probably.
I am proud to say I have never cried at a bar. Ever. Ever.
No, I had a girl get all sideways on me for talking to another chick one time who I literally asked if I could squeeze by. And she was like putting her legs in the way, like just being fun, you know. She's like, no, you can't right. go by, you know, that type of thing, you know. So I'm
she's
sure
putting her pussy in the way, penis slipped in.
So I'm sure seeing it across the way, it looked much worse than it was. But that, I mean, it literally was 8 seconds long, and I paid for it, you know, for the rest of the night. Same type of deal.
Right.
Why don't you just go fuck the girl at the bar? You know. It's like, what are you talking about? Oh. Okay, yeah. I saw you. Saw me what? Jesus Christ.
See, one time, and this was actually just within the last few years, my husband and I were out having drinks with a bunch of other people, and it was kind of a biker bar. And he had gone up to the bar, and this chick, who I guess he had met a couple times, I don't even know how, but she came running up and gave him a big, giant hug. And I could see him. He immediately, like, looked at me and kind of gave me a look, which was apologetic. Like, I'm sorry. You know, so he's acknowledging that he wasn't trying. And I saw she flung herself upon him.
Yeah.
He's not groping her. He's not pulling her tightly to him. He's being polite, and she wouldn't like let go of him. And I'm just, it didn't bother me. I didn't see anything in his behavior that sent up any alarms. And a friend looked at me and said, I would go kick her ass right now. And I'm like, no, you know what? I don't know who she is.
No, if they disappear, then you kick his fucking ass and hers.
Right. And I said, I'm not going to ruin the evening because from everything I've seen as of right now, he didn't ask for this. So I'm not going to punish him for it. You know what I mean? Or her. It's fine. And she's never appeared in my life ever again. So, you know, I am quite confident that he wasn't fucking her on the side. So, hey.
Yeah.
Why ruin an evening when all you have to do is sit back and just kind of assess the situation and just go, okay. It's not so bad.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of stuff, you really have no control over.
Right.
It's all about how you behave during it, and it's all about how you behave afterwards. And, you know, there's not much leeway for proper behavior in that. It's, you know, because it emits uncomfortable feelings from even the person that's happening to that has no control over it. Because it's like, oh, God, I'm going to have to cover for this somehow if she goes sideways about it. And I didn't do anything wrong. And that fucking sucks. And, you know.
Yes, that right there is the worst part. When you truly, you're not doing anything. And because someone did something that you didn't ask for, you didn't encourage or anything. But now your significant other is going to be pissed and ruin the evening. That just sucks.
There was a night at the Addies when I lived in Jacksonville. This was a long, long time ago. I was living with Sandy and George Robinson, our voice guy, was working with me at Rock 105. He still does the voice for Lex and Terry. And he was...
Isn't that Space Ghost?
Yes, that's Space Ghost.
Yay!
And he had just gotten the job offer in Atlanta, and he was leaving his girlfriend, who worked at Channel 4. You know, he was leaving to go up there. They hadn't decided. They ultimately got married, and they're still married to this day. But they ultimately, you know, he was going up there, and, you know, we're all sitting at a table together, and number one, one of our hot sales chicks comes up and sits on my lap. She's drunk in front of Sandy. And she's like looking at her going, she's like, he's so cute. You ever get rid of him, I'm going to be all over him and all this stuff. And I'm like, go away. Oh, my God. You know, it's like, and I'm like, thank you. That's so sweet, Jill. See you later. You know, that. You know, but it's like she wasn't leaving. She gets up, she goes and sits in a chair, and she's rubbing my knee. And, you know, I could just see Sandy over there just taking it all in, like, you're still going to pay for this, you motherfucker. I'm going to, you know, find out everything about this.
Right.
You know, and me knowing her, I'm like going, oh, God, this is so bad. This just sucks. So, you know, George and his chick are over there, and I notice there's some point of contention, and I kind of get wind of the fact that it has something to do with him leaving. Well, he ended up sweeping about 7 awards at the Addies.
Aw.
And he's, like, getting pictures after the Addies are over, and he's holding all his awards and everything. And out of the corner of my eye, I see her walk into the room, you know, and she's in high heels. She's a tall girl to begin with. She's 6 feet tall without heels. So, you know, here's this menacing presence that walks into the room. And she goes, look at all those awards. And George looks at me like with his smirk.
You know, my butthole just puckered and I wasn't even there.
And George looks at me like with this look on his face, like not knowing whether to laugh or, you know, he's like, this is interesting type of look on his face. And she comes over and kicks the awards out of his hands. They go all over the floor and everything.
Oh, God.
And
I would have been like, I mean, Space Ghost, no. I
mean, you ever seen Kane Mutiny?
No.
Yeah. It's like the part at the end of the movie where the guy busts into the room drunk and just takes over. You know, it was kind of like that. It was just like... It's just like, well, look who won some awards, you know. And I'm like, and it's like my head turned just in time to see her Garrow Yupremian these awards out of his hand, and they go all over the place. And she goes, oh, let me help you pick those up. And she's like picking it up and then letting them fall. They're like breaking and shit.
Aww.
And I go over and I said, everything okay here? She goes, why wouldn't it be? Look at all the stuff he's won before he leaves town. And I went, oh. I mean, yeah, well, you two work this out. That's good. So, yeah. Well, anyway, you know, I go back and we're standing in the hallway and everything. And I turn to Sandy. I said, God, you believe that? And she goes, good thing you didn't win anything. I would have kicked them out of your hand, too. I went, why? I'm not moving anywhere.
At least not this decade.
Yeah. And and she goes, and she starts in on me about the chicken. I said, I have no control over that. What are you busting my balls about that for? She goes, no. She felt she could do that. And I said, well, that's what tequila does, Sandy. I have no control over that. I said, I guarantee you she's not drunk. She doesn't do that. Whatever thoughts about me she has.
Now, if you're sitting there and she's doing all of this, but your hand is resting firmly upon her ass or between her legs, or you're got your arm around her waist and are pulling her tightly to you, at that point, be pissed at your reaction because you're encouraging it.
I remember being noticeably uncomfortable and like, please go. I think I even looked at her like, please go. Please go. Oh, my God. Please go.
Please, please, please.
If you have a shred of decency about you, you'll get the fuck up and never come back here.
Even For the though, love of God.
Even though I'm extremely horny right now, I really need you to go.
And I think you just shellacked my knee.
Yeah. Yes. So, I paid for that. George and I ended up, you know, with pissed off girlfriends and hanging out and doing a bunch of blow that night by ourselves. It's kind of what happened there. So,
the next time he does anything for you guys, could you record and get him just to say, greetings, Citizen Stacy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why?
You don't know how much I loved Space Ghost from the 90s.
Oh, okay.
Greetings, citizens. Oh, my God, I love that.
Yep, he was the voice of Space Ghost. He was even talk show Space Ghost.
Yes, that's the show I was talking about. He had Zorak was his little band
was
leader.
Was Ed McMahon or his Doc Severinsen?
Yes, Doc Severinsen. He started out as a locust, but then Lokar showed up, and it turned out Lokar was the locust, and that Zorak was actually a praying mantis. And then Multar was the producer who sat up in the booth.
So funny seeing him sitting at the desk in his Space Ghost outfit. It's hilarious.
And he's got his little cue cards, his little, like, you know, 3x5 cards going tap, tap, tap. And
coffee
tap,
cup. Tap. Good stuff. So, yeah. Oh,
yes, that was a great show.
Yeah, I mean, to this day, when you hear, like, commercials on TV, George is, like, you know, during football season, there's, like, 3 out of the 5 of them he's on. He's all over the place, as well as a, you know, couple hundred radio stations and stuff like that. He's definitely did the right thing taking that job. But he said,
I really don't give a shit about that. I just care about Space Ghost.
Yes, but I know.
Fuck the rest of it.
Yeah, I know. He's actually done some cool things. Very talented guy. Me, I've just done a Genghis Khan commercial. Genghis Grill.
I did a commercial for the PGA.
You do?
A long time ago.
Yeah.
I did.
Good for you.
I gotta say, these guys are good.
Oh, yeah? You did one of those? That's cool. You should do more voice work. Everybody loves your voice.
You know, it's funny, they do until I actually do something for them. And then it's like, I never ever hear from anyone again. So, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, you could be filthy rich if you really wanted to set up business and do that. I think you could steal a lot of female voice work. Everybody who hears the podcast, it's like, oh, God, Stacey sounds so good. Oh, I love Stacey's. It's like, yeah, I'm on there too. It's really, yeah. Well, there's two of us. So, you know, there's that. No, it's her, really. She's amazing. Like, okay.
Lex is the one that oozes all the masculinity.
Put it back in your pants.
And if you don't, that's okay, too. Just don't drive that way, because kids might see.
My voice is boring. Everybody, there's guys all around the country with mine. You, on the other hand.
But it's a nice voice.
Yeah. It's gotten me paid, so yeah, it's great. I like it.
And laid. It's gotten you paid and laid.
It has gotten me laid probably a couple times. A couple.
Everyone who meets me after the fact, it's usually most people think that I'm like a leggy brunette, which is pretty funny because I couldn't be farther from either of those things.
I remember the first time I heard you on the air, I pictured you to be like super businesslike for some reason.
So when I that would be because my lack of personality when I'm, you know, doing the DJ thing.
When I first met you, I just expected, you know, like a business suit, you know, glasses type of thing. I really didn't put a hair color to it.
Like the dirty librarian kind of thing, hair up in a bun, ready to come down at a moment's notice.
Yeah, not even that dirty. I just kind of expected somebody businesslike, and then, you know, you were sitting over there looking at us like these pieces of shit. Look at me.
No, I wasn't. Understand? I was going through a terrible breakup at that time. I was not judging you in any way.
You're very judgy looking. Yeah, Terry and I are like, look at her, man. She fucking hates us. Who is that?
No, I was just really uncomfortable.
Oh my God. I don't know who that is, but one thing's for sure. We're not her favorite.
No, that's not true. Because if that was true, I wouldn't have come there.
And it had a lot to do with why you got employed with us. It's like, she hates us. We have to work with her.
Yeah, that was right after you had not so accidentally outed your other, the news chick before me.
Oh, Diane?
Remember that? No, Diane, I think, was after me.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, she forgave me. Yeah, good old Chase. I forgot about her. Well, I can't wait to tell Terry that I thought of one that we missed. We were talking about all our news people. Yeah, I forgot she was before.
There's been a lot, hasn't there?
Let's see.
She was before me. I think Diane was immediately after me, and then Brenda.
There was Jim, Brandy, Chase, Andrea Pilcher, Maria, Juliet Huddy. Then I think it was you. I think Chase was before you. Juliet Huddy was before her. Then it was after you was
Diane was immediately.
Diane was before. Was Diane after you?
She was my first replacement. She was basically.
Okay, there was Diane,
and then she didn't last that long. No. And then Brenda came.
Then Brenda, then Kim. Holy shit, that's 10. then Peter, then Taint, and Ian. We've had 13 news people in 22 years.
Well, it's not that bad then.
That's pretty bad.
Is it?
2-year turnover. Yeah, that's pretty bad. Considering like John Boy and Billy and some of these shows have had the same news person their whole existence.
Okay, true.
Yeah. I guess we were kind of hard to work with.
I don't know what you could possibly mean. And I don't think it was necessarily you. Just saying.
No. No, I was a little less raw than Terry was at the time. Now it's kind of the other way around.
No, you're the dickhead.
I'm not a dickhead. It's just I...
Douchebag.
At this stage of my life, I don't want to settle for fucking somebody who's not on the fucking page. How's that?
Okay, I'll let you have that one.
You know, it's about me now.
It's like, well, you're good.
You are making me look bad. You have to go. We're in the old days.
Well, thank God we're not making any money with this.
Oh, no. Listen, this is just for shits and giggles, you know, for now. I think it's
good. For now, but soon. I think it's domination.
I think it's good enough for domination and to make lots of money compared to most of the podcast I hear. You know, so
I have my podcast because I finally decided if I'm going to be on a podcast, I should probably listen to some. It's just kind of my civic duty as a podcaster, right. I guess. And so I listen to Star Talk Radio with Neil deGrasse Tyson because he most weeks has Bill Nye on, and that makes me really, really happy.
Yeah.
I love Bill Nye.
I hear that's a good podcast. And
it really is. If you even are remotely interested in space, they dumb it down enough that you can understand it, but not so that you're thinking, wow, this is just stupid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I want to hear Marin's podcast with the president. I do want to hear that episode, and you know, that'll be the first one I listen to. I don't know if that's really indicative or fair of what he does all the time, but it is one of the most downloaded podcast in the nation, so
it is, and I've tried it a couple times, and it just wasn't for me. This isn't me ripping on him or anything, yeah. Because actually, I respect the hell he does it on his own, except for the interview part. So he will actually begin and just talk, like, by himself for, yeah, like, 10 minutes, you know, and see, that is something, as someone who's done this a long time, I find very difficult, is talking by myself. I need someone to bounce off, like you.
Yeah, well, I can talk by myself for a while. I love my voice enough to do that and make myself happy.
He was just a little too New York.
Yeah, he is. He's very New York, but he's definitely paid his dues. I'm happy to promote him and talk about him and appreciate his success, because he's been around a long time.
Yes.
As not super successful, so. And he's definitely,
again, this isn't me ripping on him. I just want to, it just wasn't for me. It wasn't one of my top podcasts that I like to listen to.
That being said, I don't listen to a lot of podcasts, period. So I have not heard his, but I plan on doing so, starting with the one with President Obama on it and some priors and some afters, just so I can get a flavor of, you know, why people love this so much.
I do listen to Gilbert Godfrey.
That's good.
Well, through the course of the week, he does like one or two little short 10, 15 minute long ones that are like these two movie reviews of old movies, like horrible movies from the 70s, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Then there's like the big long interview show, and I won't listen to the interview show. I pretty much just listen for the little short ones.
Yeah.
And he's very funny. He likes pointing out who's Jewish.
Yes.
And it just makes me laugh. Also, a Jew.
Yeah, he's not afraid. He's not afraid of shit.
No.
And he's awesome. So, you know, it's a new world, the podcast world. It's... Our particular podcast, I don't feel super different from radio, although it's weird not going to commercials. It's weird not having to worry about segments and things like that. We can just, right, you know, pretty much outline our subject matter. Most of the times, we don't get to all of it.
Right. Like today.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
And the time before that, we always get like off on a tangent. Or expand on one particular piece of subject matter. We haven't gotten to the Confederate flag yet, which we probably should.
No.
So let's go ahead and do that. Everybody is now coming out of the woodwork that didn't seem to want to say it was bad before are now wanting to say it is. Lindsey Graham and people like that.
Well, today, the day that we are recording this, Alabama Governor Robert Bentley has ordered the Confederate battle flag to be removed from the foot of the Confederate Memorial on the grounds of the Capitol building in Alabama. So Alabama's fallen.
Yes. Alabama's fallen, which means everybody else should fall. It's the way I look at it.
See, now, I've been reading, and I, you know, lived in Florida for 7 years. I'm very much a northern, you know, Michigan person. I did not realize, because we never vacationed in Florida when I was a kid. Like, I literally, when my moving van crossed the state line into Florida as an adult, that was the first time I'd ever been in Florida.
Right.
I had no idea how southern it was. And I know that's very naive and stupid on my part. I was just under the impression that it was Florida's mostly a hodgepodge of people that have moved there from other parts of the country. So I wasn't expecting the southern accents. I wasn't expecting the southern feel that you get, especially like in north central Florida.
Yes. Well, north central and Florida certainly isn't Orlando and Miami by any stretch.
Very true.
The more you drive south, the more that goes away.
Yes.
You know, because yes, it becomes more Hispanically influenced.
And you get more of the people. I think if you are someone who's going to move to Florida from another state.
Yeah.
Exactly. They tend to go farther south. Jacksonville isn't probably the big retirement place.
No, they've been freezing their ass off their whole life. They want warm.
Yes.
Jacksonville still has seasons.
Somewhat.
Yeah.
I can tell you when I moved back to Michigan after my 7 years in Florida, that first fall, I was so happy seeing the colors, seeing things change. Because in Florida, and again, this was just a stupid thing on my part. I fully admit it. It didn't occur to me that they wouldn't be colors and stuff. But in Florida, the leaves just turn brown and fall off the trees.
Yes.
There's no indication that a season has just changed. It just went from green to brown to bare.
Correct.
And that's it.
That is correct.
And that makes me sad.
I know.
But moving to Florida, you know, being exposed to Southern culture for the first time. And I will say, I gave it a go. I wanted to be open to a new experience in my life and all that kind of stuff. Seeing so many trucks with the Confederate flag in the back of the window and stuff was just kind of a shock to me.
Oh, yeah.
Now, in the last few days, reading stories and people that are kind of supporters of the Confederate flag are like, you know, it means a lot more. You know, it's just Southern pride, blah, 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 blah. And I get that might very well be, for a Southern person, what they think when they see a Confederate flag. But to the rest of the country, all that says is, I'm a racist, and I'm advertising it on the back of my truck.
Yep.
Sorry. That is the perception.
Pretty much.
I remember, too, sitting in line one time behind a car. It was a truck in front of me, a big Bubba truck, you know, with like the big wheels and stuff. And he had the Confederate flag like a decal on one side of his window, his back window. And on the driver's side portion of the back window, it was a decal that he had actually taken the time to put there, stick to the back window. But it was a picture of a fist punching a woman in the face to the point where she had blood drops coming out of her mouth as her head was tipped back from the blow.
I see.
And I just sat there and just looked at this and was like, I would say something, but he's going to hit me. So I'm not going to say anything about the decal that's very offensive on the back window of your truck I mean, why would you do that? Why would you advertise that you think it's okay to punch a woman in the face with your Confederate flag sitting there, too?
I don't know. They just do. I don't know what it is, but they do.
I am very sorry to say, Southerners, but I breathed a huge sigh of relief when I moved back up north.
That's okay.
To my people, my folks.
We don't need you around here, Joe Dirt.
I gave it a try. I really did.
Yeah, you did.
I just never felt comfortable.
Agreed. And that's,
you know,
all you need to
work. Within a few months of me arriving in Gainesville, I had, because I would have been, what, maybe 26 at that time, I'm going to guess. And so two different older gentlemen, like not connected, it was two separate incidences. Both, I'm going to guess, probably late 50s in their 60s, that kind of, not elderly old, but up there. both questioned why I was working. Why are you working? Why aren't you at home having babies?
Why weren't you?
I can honestly say that had never been posed to me before. That was, I didn't even know how to respond. Like, I think, I know the first time I thought he was like being funny. And I think I kind of laughed and then realized he was serious. And then was like, oh my God, I don't know how to respond to this because I have never been in this situation before.
Yeah. Well,
it's an entirely different world.
It is an entirely different world. No question. But it's definitely in the limelight right now. And it looks like yes. That flag's finally going to come down. I mean, here's my thing. If you want to have, you know, that on your shirt or on your car or whatever, that's your self-expression. But when that's got ambiguities of being a sign for slavery and oppression, to have it on a state building is probably not a prudent thing to do.
I assume by now you've seen Jon Stewart's monologue after the Charleston shootings.
No, I
didn't. Did you ever see that? Mm-mm. Oh, you really should. It might possibly bring like tears to your eyes.
He's done it before.
He just says things. He says things that like are so powerful that you're kind of like, well, no shit. But at the same time, like, why haven't I ever thought of that? You know, he pointed out that in South Carolina, black people drive on roads that were named after Confederate generals. You know, and there's the Confederate flag flying over the Capitol and all this stuff. And it's just like, wow. Here's
one approach I heard that makes sense as well. To everybody but the Indianapolis Colts. We have never highlighted the success of losers in anything we do. Not just the United States, but worldwide. The losing effort does not get celebrated. There aren't Nazi flags hanging everywhere, except in people's basements that don't fucking get it.
Right.
You know, once they lost, it was over. You no more fucking Nazi flags. You lost.
Right.
You can't put up your AFC runner-up banner, Indianapolis, in your stadium when that doesn't mean jack shit. Put up what you did. You were the division champion. That's what teams put up. Not that you're putting a banner up for being the loser in a playoff game.
Right.
One that you lost 47 to like 7, something like that. That's just fucking ridiculous. Same thing with the Confederate flag. At the end of the day, you lost. Whether it's a part of history or not, it belongs in the museum. This was their flag. This is what they used. There's some people that don't want to let that go. That's fine. That's American expression. Put it on your car. Put it on your bumper sticker. Put it on your shirt. But it sure as fuck isn't going into the place, if I'm a black dude, where I got to defend myself in court, and that's sitting the fuck on top of the building. Not cool.
I don't think Great Britain has any major holidays where they celebrate where we successfully left them.
Exactly. <You know? laughs> Yeah, they don't have
the... Ooh, we're going to celebrate American Independence Day over here in England. Woo!
Yeah, and the Revolutionary flag, which was a sign of victory, isn't flown in New England. It's in a museum. It's over. It's not being, you know, things progressed. Our flags look differently. We've added more colonies, more states, more growth. You know, it's changed. So, you know, why we're highlighting that part of the a 200, well, 150-year-old war that had just horrible things attached to it, like slavery.
Right.
You know, that was an uprising against our country, if you really want to look at it for what it is, that was beaten down. Why the fuck do we have it up? You lost. You're the Colts.
Yep. No, I agree.
You know,
I've always wondered that, kind of, you know, like, why do people care?
Who are you pleasing with this? Nobody. You're creating bad feelings with this. If people are jubilant that it's up there, it means they're pretty much people out of touch that are celebrating such a thing. If you don't put it up there, nobody cares.
And you know, you can have Southern pride. You can still be proud that you're from the South. You know, I am very proud of the fact that I'm from Michigan, and I will promote Michigan. I love Michigan. I will talk about it to anyone.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it is greater than the United States as a whole.
You can go on Cafe Press and make all the fucking Rebel flag shirts you want to wear every day. You can make bumper
Just
stickers.
Just don't sell them at Walmart.
You can make bumper stickers. You can self-express, because that's what this country was built on. And... you know, here's things people don't think all the way through. Let's just assume the South won, and the North, you know, was in pockets, you know, had the colonial flag flying in places. You know, do you think the South would have put up with that being up on government buildings? Fuck no.
No.
Absolutely not. So no, it's a piece of history. It was the calling card of one side of the war that lost. It should be in a museum. It should be appreciated as a timepiece, a period of time. If you still feel like the South is your place and it should have won, wear the fucking shirt if you want. But it's not going to be on the federal building, or on the state building, or on the city building. There's no place.
I can
for
tell
it.
You when I lived in Florida for my brother's birthday one year, I actually drove up 75 and like stopped at a roadside stand. I was very proud of these. I got him a Confederate flag ashtray, and then I got him a stuffed gator head,
yes,
like a real one, you know, that had been shellacked so it doesn't rot, and sent those up to Chicago. Because I thought he would appreciate.
You know, I don't even think
the irony of it.
I think a lot of that flag represents just, you know, I'm from the South, I'm proud and all that. I really don't think a lot of people that house that or wear it or have it in their basement really understand the connotations or the history of it. I didn't until a year or so ago. Until there was the whole issue with the Georgia state building having it. Up until that point, I didn't realize that it had anything to do with slavery. I just thought it was the South's flag. And besides slavery, that's also the flag that was in place when the Indians were, you know, put on their march back to Oklahoma. You know, it's right. That was part of that process too. It's just got bad attached to it.
Bad juju, yes.
It does.
And that's what I'm saying. As someone from the North, you know, again, I can kind of understand if you as a Southerner feel that it means something else to you. I get that. But to the rest of the world, if you are driving around with that on the back of your vehicle, there are people who are you're just advertising that you're a racist. I'm sorry.
No, you know,
please understand, that's what people think.
And if you think it's cool because Skynyrd had it, you know, like on some of their stuff, I can plainly tell you that Ronnie Van Zant had tons of black friends, black musician friends. The guy was not a racist. Nobody in the band was. They really were cool people, not racist. And I guarantee today, if he were alive, that would have nothing to do with them.
Well, plus, dude, they were a Southern rock band. They were embracing, yeah. You know, yeah. I get the whole Southern symbolism there. It wasn't like, let's kill all the blacks, you know.
But somebody brought up one. Somebody brought up one day. They said, "Lex, you're a Skynyrd fan." I went, "Yeah." Well, you know, how many fucking rebel flags do they have on their albums and on their tours? And I'm like, "Yeah," I said, "but I also know a little something about their behavior as far as, you know, doing musical work with the Muscle Shoals and stuff like that. You know, these were not racist dudes. And if they were..."
There's also 40 years ago, and yeah, the climate and attitude has changed.
Yeah, it was 40 years ago, but even at the time, these guys, I don't think, embraced that flag for, you know, yeah, slavery. You know? They had,
we gotta go get us some.
Yeah, they had too many acquaintances, you know, that were African American for me to believe that. I'm sorry, I just don't. And knowing Johnny like I do, and knowing a few guys in the band like I still do, there's no fucking way I would ever believe, you know, those guys had a racist side of them, like some people have said.
Now, Ted Nugent, yes. He's about as racist as they come.
Is he? I've never heard anything.
Oh,
I've never heard anything, let me tell you, this racial is a out of him.
Personal experience. Back 20 years ago, of course, I live in Michigan. Ted Nugent, Michigan guy, all over the place.
Right.
The radio station I was working at, we were doing a live remote at the Bay County Fair. Bay City. No, I'm sorry. It was the Midland County Fair. So Midland, Michigan. We're there, and Ted Nugent was playing that night at the fair. And so there is this huge stage set up, and it was like actually this closed-in area where you couldn't see, but you could hear everything. And I'm sitting there, that the show starts, Ted Nugent starts playing. I am not in there. I'm out like on the, you know, the fairgrounds part, dealing with other people. And he proceeds to go on this whole rant about black people sucking the welfare system dry, and please understand, this is a quote. He made some reference to the, he called them big, fat, black beached whales.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
And I'm just sitting there like, I'm just sitting there thinking, oh my God, I'm looking at families walking by, you know? Yes, he's talking to the people who paid to see him inside the concert on the other side of the wall, but it's fucking loud. Everybody in this whole area of Midland can hear him talking about this.
And now here's Wang Dang Sweet Boot Dang, yeah!
Nashville Pussy!
Our second Nashville Pussy reference. Love it. All right, Stacey, we got to wrap things up. Great podcast. Yes. A lot of fun as usual. And number 62, man. Jesus.
I know.
63 will be
100's right around the corner.
It is, as fast as we're going. 63 will be an hour-long edition next. So if you like those, that's what's coming your way. We have loaded for bear action, subject matter-wise, to still bring you. And I promise we will. We don't like to leave much on the table. So until next time, we'll see you for Threesome Podcast 63. Goodbye.
Bye.